Well, it's been quite a week, hasn't it? Elections down south. I was going to say rioting. That's maybe not quite true. Protests. You know, when a country elects a new president, a new prime minister, it really focuses on values. And we saw that throughout the presidential election, where you had the values of an individual against the values of another individual. And we're going to talk about values this morning. Values that, in many ways, are countercultural to our society. Henry Inmick, by the way, that what they talked about fits in so well with what we're going to look at this morning, because we're going to look at the value of having a servant's mentality. So if you have your Bibles with you, take them and turn to Mark chapter 10. And we're going to go through verses 35 to 45. Mark chapter 10, 35 to 45. A very, very interesting conversation that Jesus has with two of his disciples, James and John. And from this conversation, Jesus clearly compares and contrasts the world values with God's values. If we were to put it in today's language, you would say that James and John had a ladder mentality. They wanted to try and climb the corporate ladder, if you will. They wanted literally to be the right and left hands of Jesus, as he would establish this kingdom that he was constantly talking about while he was walking the face of the earth. But Jesus quickly sets them straight and shows them that this latter mentality is not a value of God. Instead, he shares with them what he's looking for is a servant mentality. Now, before we go any further into the message, I want to be very clear that there is nothing wrong with advancing up the corporate ladder. Let's be very clear about that. There's nothing wrong with becoming a CEO of a company. I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about. If that were the case, I would be a hypocrite standing up here as the president of Steinbach Bible College. Pastor Walter, our lead pastor, would be a hypocrite being up here. And so that's not what Christ is talking about. What he's talking about is focusing on only getting a better position for the sake of getting a better position. Maybe it has to do with power or prestige or pride. You see, some people will stop at almost nothing to get to the top. They'll do whatever it takes because that is their number one goal in life, to climb that corporate ladder. But this passage exposes four faults of having ladder mentality. By the way, we can have ladder mentality in so many areas of our life. It doesn't just have to relate to our work experience. We can have ladder mentality in the relationships that we have at our homes, with our spouse, with our children, with our neighbors, with our coworkers. Now, certainly getting to the top, as it were, may be different. But ladder mentality is this mentality that says, I'm going to be up here and you're going to be down here. And so as we go through this morning, we're going to take a look at four faults of ladder mentality that Jesus shows us through this passage. So let's take a look at them. Number one is this, fault number one, ladder mentality is deceitful. Let's take a look at our passage, Mark 10 verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. I love that. You see what's happening here? James and John are pulling aside Jesus to ask for a favor. Not a specific favor, but really a blank check so that they can get whatever they want. And notice that they don't tell Jesus what the request is. It's simply a yes and no question. Well, actually, they want a yes to this request. It's kind of like being asked this question. I always struggle with knowing how to respond to this question. People will come up to me and go, hey, Rob, what are you doing Saturday afternoon? Now, there is a loaded question for you. If you're asking me, hey, Rob, what are you doing Saturday afternoon because I've got an extra ticket to the game? Okay, let's talk. If you're asking me, hey, Rob, I need to move my piano from the basement to upstairs. The answer may be a little bit different. I don't know how to answer that question when it starts out, what are you doing Saturday afternoon? In reality, it's a little bit deceitful, isn't it? And I see that here with the disciples. They're trying to get Jesus to commit without telling him what he was to commit to. And to make matters worse, they're doing it in private. They don't want anyone else to know about this conversation. It's politicking at its finest. They don't want the others to know what kind of a backroom deal they're willing to cut so that they can advance themselves. This is a private conversation about the kingdom. You see, James and John are promoting their own interests. They're being sneaky, deceitful. Instead of being upfront and honest, they want to promote their own well-being honestly instead of promoting the kingdom. And ladder mentality is like that. It says you can't get to the top unless you're deceitful and sneaky. Paul says this in Ephesians 4:22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. See, your old self includes having this ladder mentality. Ladder mentality can be corrupt because of the deceitful elements that it has. There's a second fault. Ladder mentality is driven by wrong motives. Again, I want to emphasize there is nothing wrong with making it to the top. Nothing. Let's be very, very clear about that. But when your goal becomes, when this becomes your only goal, that's when it becomes a problem. Your motive should not simply be to make it to the top for the sake of being to the top. It should be to make it to the top so that you can serve others. We're going to talk about that in a moment. One point in my ministry, I had the privilege of working with one of the top managers in a large company. I was sitting with him one day, and an individual came up to him and asked him, "So why are you in business?" And his response was, "We're in business to serve our customers." The individual who asked the question laughed and scoffed and said, "That's not why you're in business. You're in business to make money. Come on, let's be honest." And his response was this, "No, we are in business to provide a service to our customers." The individual who asked then went on to say, "Well, if that were true, you would give away your product for free." To which he responded and said, "Yes, we could do that for a short while, and then we'd be bankrupt and would not be able to serve our customers." Interesting concept. His whole mentality, and I have a lot of respect for this individual, was, "I'm in business to meet the needs of other people." It wasn't to climb the corporate ladder, and in this large company, he had done quite well with that, if you were to put it that way. But he wanted to instill with this business the culture that says, we are here to serve, to meet the needs of others. Let's take a look at James and John. Why are they asking this question? Verse 36, let's keep reading. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "Hey, Jesus, come on over here. We need to talk a little bit. We've been listening very carefully to this conversation that you've been telling us about the kingdom. We think it's a great idea. We love it. In fact, it's so good that we'll do whatever it takes to get this kingdom up and going. All we ask is that you remember to appoint us as your top two men. You're the boss, but we'll be your second in command." See what's going on here? Their motives had nothing to do with what was best for the kingdom. Their motives were driven by what is best for James and for John. See, and ladder mentality does that to us. It takes our eyes off of the real purpose and puts it onto our own agenda. That's because ladder mentality is often driven by wrong motives. Jesus said this in Matthew 23, "But those who exalted themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." James and John, they were trying to exalt themselves. They wanted to be the ones in charge. But God's values are different from the world's values. Fault number three, ladder mentality has a high cost. Most people who have ladder mentality don't stop to think about the tremendous cost that it has on their lives. They convince themselves, I'm doing this for my family, for my kids, for whatever. But they don't take into consideration the cost that it has. James and John certainly didn't take into consideration this cost. Let's keep reading, verse 38. But Jesus answered, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of sorrow I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with?" "Oh, yes," they said, "we're able." And Jesus said, "You will indeed drink from my cup and be baptized with my baptism. But I have no right to say who will sit on the thrones next to mine. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." See, Jesus is making it very clear to them that this ladder mentality comes at a high price. It's the price of suffering and sorrow. Now, I believe that James and John felt they had already gone through all kinds of significant suffering and sorrow as they'd been walking the face of the earth with Jesus. In my preparation for this message, I discovered that James and John probably grew up in a fairly wealthy home. Their father was a fisherman who supplied fish to the palace. To travel all over the countryside and sleep on the cold earth as Jesus did must have seemed like suffering and sorrow to these two rich, probably spoiled kids. They may have thought to themselves, "Can't get any worse than this." Absolutely not. Well, here's the point. Ladder mentality carries with it a cost that is greater than we ever expected. I've seen all too clearly how ladder mentality breaks up marriages, how it causes fathers and mothers to lose the respect and love of their children. I've seen how it has caused significant health issues of worry and stress. I've seen how it's produced a life of bitterness, misery, and emptiness. And I want to tell you that ladder mentality will bring your life emptiness because there is a huge cost involved when your motives are only to climb the corporate ladder, when you are deceitful in trying to get ahead. See, the faults of ladder mentality are deceit, wrong motives, a high cost, and number four, ladder mentality produces jealousy. Let's keep reading, verse 41. When the 10 other disciples discovered what James and John had asked, they were indignant. Outwardly, the other disciples became indignant at this request that James and John had. Outwardly, their response was one of anger. Their tempers, I'm sure, flared. What right did these two have to go and make this kind of request? Did they really think that they're that much better than the other 10? I suspect those would have been their natural thoughts. Remember, Peter, James, and John were already part of the upper echelon, the big three, if you were to have it that way. Their request only served to emphasize this distinction that they were wanting to create. But inwardly, I wonder if the other 10 disciples were mad at themselves because they had allowed these two to beat them to the punch. To the others, it now appeared to them that James and John held the upper hand in establishing who was going to be the greatest and who would have to settle for the rest. You see, when you have ladder mentality, it causes others to be jealous of you. And that jealousy often produces a grudge and causes divisions. But Jesus sets them straight and tells them that he is not about this latter mentality. That's not part of his values. What Jesus tells them is to have a servant mentality. You see, a servant mentality is all about the attitude that you possess, what your motives are, how you're going to try and be great, and counting the cost, and then moving forward knowing what the cost is. By the way, have you noticed Jesus never tells them it's bad to be great? Doesn't go down that road. He doesn't say it's wrong to be ambitious. In fact, I think he's encouraging them to be ambitious. Look at verse 43. Whoever wants to become great among you must. And then he gives the lists. See, as Christians, I think sometimes we lose this point. I think we look at people with ambition as corrupt power mongers. People just trying to get ahead. But Jesus doesn't say that. He encourages them to be ambitious, but there is a right way and a wrong way. There are right motives and wrong motives. There are right attitudes and wrong attitudes. And Jesus points out to the 12, this is the wrong attitude, what James and John are displaying. And the right attitude is having a servant mentality. So then we have to ask ourselves, what's involved in a servant mentality? Well, a servant mentality, number one, does not exercise authority over others. Let's keep reading in our passage, verse 42. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Now, all of the disciples knew what it meant to have the authorities enforce their power over them. They were all Jews who were living under Roman rule. They understood this perfectly. James and John's request was really a request to be on the ruling side of the table. See, I think they were tired of being bossed around. And so their thinking was this. Jesus has continually talked about establishing this kingdom. If we can get in from the start, we can be in the upper tier when it comes to ruling in this kingdom. And then instead of us being bossed around, we get to be the ones who are doing the bossing. We get to make the rules, and we'll have the authority to carry out the rules. You see, they really didn't want the system to change, quite frankly. They wanted to change who was at the top and who was at the bottom, but they didn't want the system to change. And Jesus says, it doesn't work this way. This is not the kingdom that I am talking about. A servant mentality doesn't exercise authority over others. A servant mentality uses authority to serve others. I believe what Jesus is trying to get at is this. Peter, James, to the rest of the disciples, you don't like it when the Romans exercise their authority over you. You don't think it's great at all. In fact, you despise it. And you despise them for doing it. See, latter mentality will do that to you. And Jesus takes their paradigm and flips it upside down. Greatness doesn't come because we have a title or because we have power bestowed on us. Greatness doesn't come because we have riches or a position. Greatness comes according to Christ's definition when we are willing to serve others and when we display a servant mentality. Now, we've talked a lot about what a servant mentality is not. I want to close our message by looking at what it is. What is a servant mentality? tells us right here, verse 45. Let's finish it off. For even I, the Son of Man, came here to be served, not to be served, but to serve others, and to give my life as a ransom for many. Let me read that again. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others, and to give my life as a ransom for many. This is a really tough verse. A verse that flows against the very grains of society, because society tells us that the goal is to have people serve you, and that others should give up their life for your sake. I want to suggest to you that a servant mentality starts with a change of attitude. A change that says, I will be the one serving, not the one being served. Latter mentality says, you will be served. Jesus says, we will serve others. Well, how do we serve others? We just saw a little video clip about it. We minister to others. Ministering to others is meeting their needs. As part of the leadership team of this church, I can tell you that that is our desire for our church. That we will be known as the people who meet the needs of others. Be that spiritual needs or physical needs, emotional needs, relational needs. And being part of the leadership team, I have the privilege of hearing from our pastors how some of you are serving others. What a joy. What an encouragement for us. Thank you for being true servants. And the reality is, so many of you are serving behind the scenes and very few people know about it. That is fantastic. That is the demonstration of a servant mentality. And I want to encourage you, continue to serve others selflessly. Now, before we conclude this morning, you have to understand one thing. There is a cost involved in meeting the needs of others. There's a high price to be paid in having a servant mentality. Jesus came to serve on this earth, and it cost him his life. If we're going to minister to those around us, not only to those in this room here, but to those when we leave this room, at our place of work, the people that we live beside, the people that we live with in this community, province, and in our country, we're going to need to change the way that we view others. That means we're going to have to look for their needs, not just for our own needs. We're going to need to change the way that we treat others. That means that we'll treat them like we want it to be treated. And we're going to need to change the way that we spend our time. That means we'll have to make personal sacrifices. In fact, as I take a look at Christ and the life that he demonstrated for us, we're going to need to change virtually every aspect of our lives if we truly want to have a servant's mentality. You see, meeting needs is not easy because needs arise at untimely moments of our day. Latter mentality says, you will fit into my schedule. A servant mentality says, how can I fit into your schedule? Meeting needs means we will make significant sacrifices for the sake of the kingdom. Latter mentality says, you should make significant sacrifices for the sake of me. Mark 10:45. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. Let's pray. This concept of servant mentality is so difficult for us, Heavenly Father, because seemingly at every corner and every turn in our society, we're encouraged to look out for number one, to put others second and to put ourselves first. And you came to this earth and put others first. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us that desire. Change our hearts. Where we want others to serve us, I pray that you would convict us of that through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would give us the strength today to serve one person selflessly. Give us eyes to see where those who are in need, that we can minister to them, meeting their needs for the sake of the kingdom. Father, we thank you and praise you, for you are a great and awesome God. And through these acts of servanthood, may we bless you. For we pray in your name, amen.